As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max 1 offer per account.
Nerd talk, talking about nerd talk, yeah!
Hey, what up? It's Nerd Talk Plus, our weekly deeper dive into the stories that make this world nerdier. From Odyssey's Nerd Talk, I'm your host. Hi, I'm Gregor. And he's been a managing editor at Odyssey. Now he's just a guy making jokes on Twitter. He's Brandon from the internet.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi. Bad. Neither of us is a scientist, engineer, or supervillain, but if you are, let us know what we get wrong and maybe even something that we get right. If you could share anything you see with us doing this or tell people about the podcast version that definitely doesn't exist, that would be super cool. And also, if you could hit us up on the internets, at HeyGregor, at BrandonMG, with the answer to this week's question of the week.
Yeah. This week's question of the week is, which myth do you wish was real? Or, like, what myth do you want to believe? For example...
Like aliens, like, being here?
Sure. Well, I mean, like... Yeah, like Sasquatch or Bigfoot or, you know, Loch Ness Monster or...
Anal probes.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure those exist. But hey, maybe that's just the one that I want to believe.
Well, I can't wait to figure out where you're going with this, but all right.
Yeah.
Diving right in, you've likely now heard about 3D printed everything, right? Like from cool toys that people make and sell on Etsy to someday maybe human bones. I know people get casts for when they've broken stuff that can be specifically shaped to you without having to suffocate your arm or broken bone with plaster or whatever.
Oh, and have to use the freaking pen to like itch down there. I broke my wrist a long time ago. It stunk something fierce when you had
terrible.
To get that off. Yeah.
Yeah, just so gross. I am into the part where you have the dead skin that you get to rub off afterwards,
Yeah.
As a person who like loves a sunburn peel or a pimple or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Pretty cool.
How are you with like somebody else's... You know those accounts like Dr. Pimple Popper where you watch other people pop other people's zits? I'm not into that, but I'm actually into popping zits like my own the wife who I have access to.
Yeah.
Their zits, but it, like watching somebody else do it on, you know, especially when it's super zoomed in like that, not into it. But so you're right, like rubbing off my own dead skin, awesome. Rubbing off somebody else's dead skin, not great.
Yeah, so for me, I broke my leg when I was 21. And since then, I can't watch any skateboarding videos.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't handle any kind of medical anything. It just doesn't, I get really freaked out by it.
Yeah.
And it's just one of those vulnerability things and whatever. And we just have to, people start telling me a story and I'm like, don't want to hear it. Please don't tell me. And that's that.
But tell me about rubbing that skin off.
Yeah, absolutely. But if you, if you send me, like, my friend Whitney, she used to, like, just send me weird, like, she'd pop a pimple and then, like, send me what came out.
Uh-huh.
And I'd be like, that's disgusting and awesome. I can handle that. But if you watch the, like, the pimple popping stuff where they get, like, it's like a fly that they get out of there. And it's, like, they, like, really work on it. And then all of a sudden it's just, like, ugh. Yeah, like that exact thing, like kind of gross. I mean, I can sometimes watch it and sometimes, I don't know. Yeah. I've got a response question to you. Like graphic stuff, like news stories, like man gets punched in face.
Yeah.
Outside of, you know, like it happens a lot in Seattle where like someone will just be walking down the street and a crazy person will walk up and just hit them and then mm-hmm. they'll just drop unconscious and you're like, oh my God. Where do you stand on that?
Yeah, can't really. I mean, I can hardly do it when it's like in a movie if it's super brutal. Like I can't really do MMA for that reason. And then I mean I almost can hardly watch some big contact sports where I'm like, look, I know that there's nothing specifically graphic about watching NFL most of the time. Sometimes you'll see a guy's like neck fall off or something.
Or like Russell Wilson's finger get bent.
And yeah, like, that's the worst. But like just understanding that the long-term result of the head injuries that these guys are causing each other is terrible, most likely, as somebody who's had like a variety of concussions. I mean, one type of concussion many times. I should say like watching those types of things. So to your point, like, I mean, recently there was this big fight thing outside of like a couple of soccer teams in Mexico and all of their fans.
Awful.
And there's all this video on the internet about like these people just getting their butts kicked. And honestly, they look like they're being killed. And some of them likely were being killed.
Yeah, like 20 people or something.
Yeah, it's all absolutely awful. And I couldn't watch more than a second. Once I realized what I was watching, I was like, I can't. I mean, I feel for those people. I mean, that's the reality of the world. It's gruesome. There's terrible things. But all this talk about a potential World War III, I'm like, I'm the last person you'd want to draft because I see one dead person and I'm throwing up.
Yeah, that's... It's just like, I think when I became a dad, it also affected me because I'm like, that's somebody's kid. And like, even the messed up people, like, you know, they're like messed up because they're folks or whatever. I just, like, it's tough for me to like, to process any of it. But like, you show me a world star where two guys are like, getting ready to... You know, someone's about to get knocked out, and like, I have a harder time turning that off than I would like. It's the really gruesome stuff. It's the really like, reporter is killed. Like, I can't.
Oh,
not even for a second. Not even for a second.
Well, and it's funny because we've talked about this before. It's like when we, each of us are dads, and when both of us became parents, like the thought of poop and throw up and stuff being nasty stopped being nasty. But you're right. Like all of these other things of like violent, you know, things happening and some of those subreddits that you can find that are just graphic depictions of those things happening. Anyway, what were we talking about? 3D printing, 3D printing bones, casts. What are we 3D printing now?
Well, it seems the thing that freaks me out the most is that people are trying to kill plastic animals by printing plastic guns. I think it's like super weird that the plastic animals are under threat like that. I have many dinosaurs that I do not. That's not why they're printing plastic guns. No. It's to be terrible.
Now I know why they're making all those Funkos. an army.
It seems like a huge step forward though to read about a 3D printer that prints beverages. It's called Canna. Has nothing to do with cannabis. Okay. And researchers spent years breaking down drinks to their molecular level to make a machine that can reverse engineer tons of different things to sip. So we're talking juices or caffeine products, as far as even booze. And the thing that they found is it's all drinks are more 90% or more water is the base, and then you have to figure out the molecular structure of the other stuff. And it comes down to some pretty simple stuff. Now, there's cartridges that it'll draw upon to make these drinks for you. And those things are, it's kind of like, I don't know if you have a modern printer or not, but like my printer, when it runs out of ink, Canon just somehow knows to send me more ink and I pay a subscription and it sucks. Well, that's kind of what this is like, where you'll just get more material, base material to keep making stuff. A drink will cost you somewhere between 30 cents and $3, depending on what you're making. And I hear that and I'm like, well, could you do beer? Because like, there's like a yeastiness or there's maybe some like fermentation you need
like
with
time.
Some stuff.
Time is an element of those of things like that.
And I don't, but I don't know if, you know, there's still just molecular structures. Is it, if it's a beer and it's yeast and thyme, like, could you not just figure out how those are come together and just use chemistry to remake them?
Yeah, it's weird because it's, you think about all of the energy that it's going to take. I mean, this is where my head goes, is all the energy. First of all, actually, no, back it up. I have a question. Are you printing a lot that you need to have a subscription to a printer company to send you ink? Like that, you really threw me off there for a second.
It's not an option. I my membership is for 10 pages a month.
Oh.
Like, there's no, they don't, like, You can get around it, but it's almost impossible.
Like, oh,
you
man.
Just with it's HP, I think, is who I have. And it's like
subscriber,
just kind of
this like weird subscriber economy that we're going to, where nobody's going to own anything. Right?
It's a dollar a month for my 10 or 15 pages that I do. Yeah. And then if I need more pages, it's another dollar at a time.
Yeah.
But they're always you should upgrade your plan because you printed 37 pages last month. And I'm like, I'm not. I just want to. Ugh.
So anyway, my mind then goes to after I figure out why you're printing so much, which you're not. So I'm glad. Is all of the energy that it takes to make all of the things that are needed in order to 3D print orange juice, right? Like you take water and then you put in whatever the things that you need in order to. I mean, do you even take water or do you just put hydrogen? Like, I mean, you can't have solid.
They just ship you some hydrogen and some oxygen and just smashes them together.
So we're just doing fusion now. The idea that like the amount of energy that it takes to create the containers, to create all of the different things and break all of those elements down and to serve those elements and then bring them all back together, all of that, is that more or less energy than it would take to just grow the plant that grows the oranges that you can then squeeze into orange juice? You know what I mean? I mean, that takes a lot of water. I mean, water
doesn't
needed
fit
to
on
grow
your
those
counter.
Plants.
You can't grow a orange tree on your counter and the device that sits there.
Now, Elon Musk has not been focusing in the right area. We need to figure out how to get orange juice, orange trees on our counters.
Maybe that's what this is for, to take to Mars. I don't know.
Yeah, there you go. Now that's crazy though.
So you can read all about it at Engadget.com.
Isn't it just a soda machine?
Yeah, kind of. It's like a soda stream, kind of.
Oh, my thing is out of Dr. Pepper juice. Okay.
It's prunes. Anyway, read about it at Engadget.com. My first question that comes to mind here is like, how many billions of dollars does this thing cost to replicate stuff like it's freaking Star Trek, right? Like, my example is I remember having my first kind of like full-time job and getting a flat screen, you know, the widescreen television, HD and all that, right? This is a million years ago. And it was $1,800 for a 46-inch television. That was like a small fortune for a 26-year-old or whatever, right? Now, like, I bought a 55-inch LG at Costco the other day for like less than my car payment. Like, it was like the idea of how quickly they got inexpensive over time is crazy. Even my 4G TV or my 4K TV I bought 5 years ago is like $7 now at Costco by comparison. Yeah. And so
it's going to be like you're going to take those Pop-It things and you're just going to throw them into your glass and it's going to become juice in the next few years.
Dude, sign me up. That sounds awesome. Or like airborne tablets. You just put it in there and it's coffee all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I'm for it.
Is it going to be like impossible? You know how you have like the burgers that aren't really burgers? You know, it's impossible meat or it's lab grown meat or whatever it is. Yeah. It's a similar kind of concept, right? You're taking the molecular pieces of in trying to replicate them or trying to imitate them. So, like, what is impossible orange juice going to taste the same as regular orange juice? And are you basing this off of California oranges or Florida oranges? Because maybe there's some differences there. Like, as we get into trying to recreate food from the elements that exist to create those foods, you know, we are making some choices as the creators to limit which of those ingredients is going into. So now I'm just thinking from my palate's perspective, like, you know, are we going to make a cilantro that Greg likes?
Yeah, please. it's going to be like, knowing us, like, it's just going to be like everything is either caffeinated or full of booze or both. And you're like, I'm going to have
Locos are back, baby. 3D printed Four Locos.
But
3D Loco.
How about my 5D Loco when it's a steak now? Like, my 5 Loco, it's now also beef.
Yeah.
Like, because like you got to figure the food replication, like you were saying, is just right around the corner too. Yeah. I don't. So you say how many millions of dollars does this thing cost? It's remarkably and stupidly inexpensive. Like, I'm floored by what this is going to cost. They're doing a Kickstarter type campaign. You got to kick down $99 now, and it's refundable credit towards the full price. It'll end up costing you $4.99 for the first 10,000 orders. $499 to have whatever drink you want. Rising to $7.99 after that. And so it's not going to be available till early next year. But like, I call BS on this whole thing then, because it's not $10,000. Like, there's no way that this is, or it's super limited in what it can produce.
Or, I mean, we're talking about like a ultra simplified soda machine where it's like you are just putting syrups that are, you know, the base. Like, it's they sell those soap
shrimp.
Thing, those so yeah shrimp soda. Jones is at it again. No, they make those. You just buy the super concentrated soap and then you put it in your own container to make the cleaner that you use at your house for like your countertops and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Are they just selling us ultra concentrated orange juice that you then have to like dissolve in the water?
SodaStream's been doing that forever though, right?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like these are soda machines. I mean, this is how the thing at your local Taco Bell works, you know?
Do they have the version for the vampires yet either? Can they do a blood drink yet? That's and I'm not talking blood orange, I want. All right. So it turns out maybe you're actually depressed. And well,
not maybe. Fact. I know.
Artificial intelligence researchers have created a program for detecting mental illness, just tracking the way you use and participate in and on the internet. And it's probably not looking for actual depression here. This is something that's more, well, Dartmouth researchers built a way to find mental disorders. And they're looking at conversations initially on Reddit. And I was like, oh, well, perfect.
Oh, great. That's terrible. Yeah.
That's a hive of villainy on the internet. Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah. But they're looking as screening tools that computers could use to analyze social media posts and gain an insight into people's mental states, says techexplore.com. Okay. And like, yeah, I you know, if they're going to be monitoring what we're doing anyway, this could be really good. That's like my initial thing, is to find out that you're actually depressed and not just having a bad day for the 57th day in a row or the third year in a row or whatever. Like, yeah, you might actually be suffering from an anxiety disorder or something. You might need some actual clinical help with this. It might be nice if someone could like tap you on the shoulder and be like, hey, man, we think that you might, yeah, this might not be great. But then I start to think about who's using AI effectively and manipulating stuff, like Facebook, for instance, to get us to spend money. Like, don't you dare mention that you wanted new shoes, because it's going to show you shoe ads from now on. Like, I hear it on the ads all the time for DuckDuckGo. They're like, hey, you mentioned something and now it's everywhere. Yeah, it's Facebook's like bread and butter. But like, what happens when Vladimir Putin, who spent the last 10 years perfecting an information war, realizes yet another facet about us to be like, wow, they're depressed, and like, how can we manipulate that in order to turn an enemy on itself, on us, on like, how do we use this type of warfare against other people? And like, what's not stopping him, who's been successful at it, but like, our own government would certainly do that to us.
Well, I see it more like think of like the dystopian. I often go this way, is like, every technology, how do we dystopify it? And where I see it is like, I know this because I am clinically depressed and have clinical ADHD and went to a doctor and kind of described the...
And guess what it told me?
They gave me medicine for it, and which is great. Honestly, it's helped a lot. But the problem is that, you know, I went in and I was like, look, here's the symptoms. I'm having a hard time focusing at work. I'm not interested in the things like anyway. If you have a lot of any of these symptoms, talk to somebody about it. Maybe you don't need the AI to tell you. You definitely don't need me or Gregor to tell you. You are probably just depressed. You live in America in 2022. Look, it's
and you're listening to this.
Yeah, yeah.
17 minutes in, so yeah. Chances are.
When your company or when the government is saying, hey, you've been less productive on your internet today. Mm. We think that you have this. So then it's going to spit out of that little desktop drink dispenser that we just talked about. It's going to spit out some pills that were made specifically for your specific mental illness.
No way, dude. They're going to drop it right into the drink. It's going to be part of the OJ.
Sure. Yeah. Well, either if it's dissolvable or chewable, maybe it'll be Flintstone shaped.
Maybe they're not going to tell you.
But that's exactly. That's like, they're going to start to make these, and again, this is the cynical dystopia part of me, but they're going to start to take these assumptions about people based on their behaviors online, which, as we know, everybody is who they are online. We didn't develop entire TV shows called Catfishing about it because of that. But maybe that's part of it. I mean, how deep does this thing, this person is not being who they say they are. Therefore, that is a trait of their, you know, their individual mental illness that they have.
But the worst part then, the next step, I should say, is that you then be like, well, we could just tell them that there's a problem and they could take this pill that helps to numb their reactions to mm-hmm. things so that way we can better manipulate them into doing what we need.
I mean, like, isn't this the Giver? Isn't this like one of the entire plots of that book and then movie The Giver, is that everybody kind of I don't think it's the main plot, but everybody takes a pill to kind of numb emotions and it does solve, it creates peace. It creates all of these things, you know, like inoculate and now I'm starting to sound like Joe Rogan, but like inoculate the populace and you know, you kind of create some of those things.
Yeah, I worry about how the wrong people are going to be able to effectively use this against other people. But also it would be nice to have not just my wife telling me I should seek help, but also to have someone else be like, hey man, you okay?
If Siri telling you that you need to seek help.
I mean, but like you said, better than your boss, right?
Sure. Anyway.
All right, so this week's question of the week.
This week's question of the week is, again, which myth do you want to believe? Because as Gregor has pointed out to me, I am learning that one of the most popular dinosaurs isn't even real.
Yeah, I've got
so what the hell?
Kind of. Hold on. I've got some bad dinosaur news in general.
Well,
okay.
Well, quick question. What is the myth that you wish you that you want to believe?
Oh,
is it aliens? Because you did mention that.
Yeah. No, that's terrifying. Like,
yeah.
I want to believe that the that there's aliens that. This is my own kooky thing that I'm coming at. The sure. Fermi paradox, are you familiar with it? And I'm
no.
going to get it wrong.
Sure.
I'm sure you've run into it before, but it's the idea that we want to be quiet because as soon as you get noticed, someone's going to try and kill you for your resources. So, like, while we're exploring deep space, trying to figure out what else is out there, you don't want to send out the wrong message because then somebody is going to, either out of worry for you taking their stuff, going to kill you, or think that they're already bigger than you and be like, I'm going to take their stuff because we can use it to further propagate. That's, like, the big fear of expanding too much and running into that.
Right.
Now, you never know because, like, at some point we were tribal. And for hundreds of thousands of years, we couldn't grow beyond a certain number in a community of like 100, 150 people that lived in tribes. And then like you'd find the other tribe and you would immediately try to kill them. But then here we are now as a global community. So it could potentially also work out positively if there's another good actor out there. But you have to assume that there's not. I'm sure I've butchered this premise or whatever.
It's the idea that you are exploitable and every other alien species is not as benevolent as we hope that they are, right?
Well, and the idea that you have to assume that if you encounter a bad guy or if you encounter someone else, that they might be bad also.
Yeah.
And so you have to assume that they might be coming for your stuff, so you better get theirs first.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I think it's called the Dark Forest paradox, where you're just you're trying to stay dark in the forest so that way no one notices you're there while you hunt. Anyway, it would be kind of cool to find out that that's true and to find out who's out there watching us to see when they need to stomp on us and to have like a little insight into what's going on there. It'd be pretty neat to know, like, oh, they're out there and they're waiting for us to get smart enough so they can crush us, but right now they're just letting us behave.
That's kind of more terrifying than anything.
I was
gonna say Sasquatch, but but
there's also that. Yeah,
maybe. Yeah. Actually, the myth that I hope is true is that the Loch Ness Monster is not real. So I know that that's a myth, that the Loch Ness Monster is real, or it's supposedly a myth. But my favorite truth or understanding of the current Loch Ness Monster theory is that the most famous picture is just actually a whale's penis.
God damn it, get out of here.
It's true. It's true.
Well, it took us 23 minutes, but we got there. The other one that I would be really fascinated by is the reality being a simulation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because if reality is a simulation, and I just said that reality is a simulation and that you just agreed with it, and you're obviously just a fictional thing that's been created to keep my brain busy.
Yeah.
Then, like, I'm living in a process that has you agreeing with me, even though you're not real. And I think that that's like,
well, and maybe the simulation is using me to be like, well, wouldn't that be crazy to, instead of like legitimizing it in a way that makes you actually consider whether or not it is a simulation. Maybe it's a simulation that you chose to be in, and you don't even know that.
Like the Bourne Identity?
Yeah.
That movie, 20 years old.
Oh my gosh.
Matt Damon, old.
Old. You old man.
I watched Ford versus Ferrari the other day, just as an aside. Pretty good.
Nice.
Matt Damon's good.
I liked it.
They say Kelby. Oh my God. That's Scott Kelby is who I was thinking of.
Christian Bale in that is...
Carol Shelby is what I was trying to say, just for the record.
Yeah. I feel like Christian Bale in that movie just played Christian Bale. And they were like, hey, show up and act like yourself. And he was like, what?
He didn't yell at enough people, though, for it to be
authentic. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Anyway, about the... what thing do we wish was real? Bad dinosaur news.
Yeah.
Specifically, the most well-known, I would say, like if you ask a child what's their favorite planet or to name a planet, they're going to say Saturn, unless I say Earth, which is, whenever you ask someone what their favorite planet is and they say Earth, I'm always like, that's cool.
Yeah,
but
sweet.
They're going to say Saturn because it's the most identifiable one. It's the one that we talk about the most. So like Stegosaurus or Tyrannosaurus, perhaps. But specifically Tyrannosaurus Rex, king of the thunder lizards in the translation, roughly. Well, it turns out that while studying the differences in skeletal remains, what we think of as a T-Rex is likely actually three different species.
All right.
They studied teeth and leg bones of the, you know, we only have like what? Like, I don't know, it's like 50 or a couple hundred skeletons from the Tyrannosaurs. And so they were like comparing leg bones. They're like, well, those don't really match up in dimensions. And then they were looking at teeth and they're like, well, some of them have two extra set of incisors, the pointy teeth or whatever. Yeah. And they're like, that doesn't make sense. And so they've come to the idea that there was probably three different Tyrannosauruses. So for one thing, the Tyrannosaurus Rex is still going to be a thing. Okay. They're not going to declassify that one. But they think that there's the smaller size one that they're calling the Tyrannosaurus Regina, meaning queen of the thunder lizards. Once again, science diminishing women.
That still sounds like the sickest band name I've ever heard.
Tyrannosaurus Regina?
You know, queen of the thunder lizards.
Oh, okay. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the one that has the extra incisor is the Tyrannosaurus Imperator. And to me, that sounds like a Star Wars, like, superstar destroyer. Like, get aboard the Imperator.
You've just become Grand Moff of the Imperator.
Yeah, and your first cargo is the Emperor.
Yeah.
It's appropriately because Imperator literally means Emperor. So that's pretty fun.
So you're telling me basically what has happened is that because we keep learning more and more about what dinosaurs were probably actually like, right? And my biggest takeaway is that they were all looking like chickens. That it's like they're all beaked. But they got teeth and all that. But the way that we've been putting the dinosaur bones together so far has kind of been, you ever did that thing where you like, you fold it 8.5, 11, like a computer piece of paper, right? You fold it into three pieces and somebody draws the head and then they hide that piece and then somebody draws in the next section what the body
this
would look
awesome.
Like. And then they flip that piece over and then the third person draws what the legs would look like. And then you unfold it because you draw the little connecting lines, you unfold it and then you just get this like weird looking duck. I'm pretty sure how the platypus was invented.
Yeah,
was like doing one of these things. But like we've like actual real life paleontologists, scientists have been doing this, but with real dino bones.
Well, and then like you think about like, I don't have the specific numbers in front of me. We could easily Google it, but like the dinosaurs went extinct like 65 million years ago, I think is what we said on a previous episode.
Sure.
And they lasted from 180 million years ago to 65 million years ago. And we have 200 skeletons. Okay. And so like the fact that people don't even remember the details about World War II.
Yeah.
And we're like, you know, not even 100 years away from it. And
I heard all the Germans looked like chickens.
You ever tie a belt around your arms at the elbows? That way you have short arms. And then you can
I have never done that.
That's so dope. Anyway, like humans in whatever form, Neanderthal or whatever, I think have only been around for a 250,000 years.
Yeah.
So like, extrapolate that out all the way to the point where the dinosaurs used to be, and we only have like 50 or a couple hundred freaking skeletons. Like, who knows that we're even finding them? Like, what if they're like 15 million years apart and they actually just evolved to be smaller and more efficient or bigger and more dominating? Unless, of course, they found them like next to each other dead in a lava bed or something like that.
I always have the question of this is bringing up a very interesting thought. What are the species that dominates the Earth 65 million years from now? They're digging up all of our dumb human bones, and they're next to them digging up some like whale bones and some like duck bones and all of these things. And you hope that this species is really like capable of, you know, piecing things together. But, you know, humans have been around for a while, and they're going to be pulling, you know, Neanderthal skeletons and human skeletons and, you know,
there's
whatever the next version of us. And then they're going to put all these things together, and they're going to be like, look at this. And it also probably looked like a chicken. And, like, I just would love to see what future species think humans looked like.
Like, how many dinosaur skeletons of any type do we have in the world? Like, 10,000?
Yeah, it's not a lot. Like, and not even skeletons, just bones. Like, full skeletons is, like, a complete rarity.
And so then you're talking about, like, over the course of 100 million years, we have a small sprinkling of things. We're just making these. We know less than... There's more that we don't know than we do know by, like, a factor of a zillion.
Yeah.
And so... But at the same time, like... It's the paleontologists who actually study this, who are actually understanding how to do the scientific theory to this and to process this, are more qualified, obviously, to talk about this. But, like, how much do we really know where this is actually sound information?
It's, like, still a best guess, right? It's, like, the same way that, like, people looking into space are like, this is probably how this works. But what do we actually know? Because, like, in 50 years or even less, people are gonna be like, oh, well, what we actually learned was that was wrong. And new, in like, yeah, we should be able to change our mind. We should be operating based on the best information that we have at the moment. Like, trust science, trust scientists, all of that. Well, good stuff.
And if you don't, then prove them wrong by doing science.
Right, exactly. Like, yeah. And so just this idea of, I don't think scientists are coming out and saying this Tyrannosaurus Imperator is for sure that, like, they leave the door open that says we're going to find out more information about this as we go. But then, of course, the headline gets written that this dinosaur isn't real, Brandon, and I get upset.
A couple things you say about looking to the stars and not really understanding how that works. Like, they think that Jupiter at some point was on its way in towards the sun to be sucked up by the sun.
Oh, yeah.
And then Saturn showed up and was like, no, bro. And it, like, whoop, and it went back out and made a stable...
Yeah,
like a stable orbit then, and so we ended up with the planets the way that we have them, possibly.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's like an understanding, or it's like it's a theory or an explanation, but
they can't model the solar system for more than like several thousand years, I think, without any actual statistical success because of the amazing ways that gravity works that we don't understand. They really don't actually understand how gravity works. Like, you can kind of show what you think it is, what it's doing, but they don't understand like what makes it work. Like,
I think
that
it's magnets in our feet and stuff. Yeah, you know what
absolutely.
I mean? And like, I'm pretty sure that that's what it is.
It's definitely clown wrap that makes it work.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, but, freaking clown wrap, how does that work?
You got a minute? But the other part about looking to space is that I feel really let down by something we talked about a lot over the last couple of months, but I guess nothing really happened when that drifting rocket shell smashed into the moon on Friday. Oh.
I mean, like, what did you hope would happen? Like, the moon
so,
would
okay,
blow
so
up?
Hold on. Yeah, sort of. So what happened was we think it was a rocket shell from a Chinese craft that was being shot to see what it's going to take. Back like 6 years ago, they shot this probe around to see what it would take to actually go to the moon and come back. And they're just like testing things out. In order to do that, you have to put a ton of power into something. And we've gone over before that the Chinese Space Agency is less concerned about what happens with the leftovers than some other agencies are. They let it burn up in the atmosphere and put people potentially at risk. We don't know. But so they think this rocket body was just out there and orbiting Earth, and there's the moon also orbiting Earth, and at some point their trajectories came into contact, and on Friday there was going to be a big collision. Well, we talked about the end of the dinosaurs when the meteor hit like the Yucatan Peninsula area and created the Gulf of Mexico perhaps, and that I read that the reason that humans and mammals may have survived that is because in South America, they were hibernating for the winter. Oh. And it was in North America where that thing hit, or on the other side of the earth where the thing hit. And so that when everything stabilized some months later, they came out and they're like, what the hell happened here? But they were able to not get annihilated from the surface as the thunder lizards would have.
Dude, my dad kind of told me this story about when Mount St. Helens erupted, that he had gone down for a nap after work. He had worked like a graveyard shift and he went down for a nap, and then he woke up after the eruption had happened, and he was living in Spokane, east of the mountains, and he woke up and it was pitch black outside, and he literally, what the hell happened? Because
I did that on Saturday, only it was just that I was sick and it turned out to be nighttime.
Okay. Yeah. Did Mount St. Helens erupt?
So I guess a leftover piece of this giant rocket was just flying around and it smashed into the moon. And I thought for sure we were like at least going to see some cool pictures or something like that. Nothing. No one got anything. It was like totally uneventful. NASA's like, well, the probe that goes around the moon, it's going to fly over in a few days and we'll take some pictures and see what happens.
The myth of the anal probe that NASA's going to set up. The worst fact that ruins everything, sci-fi, Star Wars, Star Trek, anything that you've ever watched, is that like things that happen in space, like the big explosions, the fires that you see in these types of movies, even the lasers out of the right, like the blaster rifles that they use, like you wouldn't see any of that. Like the sounds, the noises, the bright lights, all of that just wouldn't exist because the vacuum of space wouldn't allow that. And it kind of ruins, you know, if you are thinking about that while you're watching, you're like, this is bull. But thinking about a rocket fuselage or whatever this piece of rocket is that hits the moon, you're like, oh yeah, of course nothing would happen because it's not Star Wars.
But I expected it to at least kill the moon dinosaurs.
Yeah, well, the moonosaurs.
What myth isn't even real, but I believe in?
I heard that they're just chickens with whale d***s.
Well, to wrap this whole thing up, after all, this is a very heady show. Let's do What Did We Learn This Week?
Sure.
Apparently, chickens with whale d*** are on the moon. I just learned that, so.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense when their diet is primarily cheese.
I also learned that.
Yeah. I learned that we are finally inventing soda machines.
Well, there's a little bit more to it than that, but yeah, okay. Yeah, I guess so. I learned that the Emperor has been reborn, not as the Emperor in Star Wars, but as a Tyrannosaurus that's been dead for 65 million years.
The Imperator.
That's such a sick name.
To be honest, I learned that the Gulf of Mexico was formed by a meteor, and some hibernating South Americans were very surprised when they woke up, like my dad.
Pretty close.
Okay.
Nerd talk, yeah! Hey, thanks for joining us every Tuesday on the Odyssey app here at 10 a.m. We do whatever this was. So join us again next time.
Or don't, because you're depressed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet.
Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The details behind the Diddy indictment, Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.